Well, if you don't know, I'm Tom Weber. I'm a chaplain in the United States Navy. And for those of you who are Marines out there, no, this is not the good humor uniform, unlike what you think. That was good humor. Can you help me out? See, I'm an officer in the United States Navy. I always have people working for me. I'm teasing. Thank you. It's a privilege to not only break bread with you, but also to bring a message from God's Word. This is going to be a testing, a trying message, because the Christian walk, the Christian life is not an easy one. If it was, everybody would do it. Just like everyone would be in the Navy and not think about the Air Force. Oh, wait a minute. Let me continue. I would like to challenge you to think about a great person of faith from Scripture, from church history, who was not a risk taker. Moses, he didn't risk anything. Abraham, David, how about Daniel? No risks there. Martin Luther, here I stand, I can do no other. Holy smokes. I believe that a great person of faith is a risk taker. I think any person of faith is a risk taker. I even believe that in the business world, you have to be a risk taker. Some of you are business people out there. I know. I might have utilized your business a couple decades ago. Sherry Poe, she was a creator of Ryka shoes. Any of you ladies ever own a Ryka shoe pair? Look at that. They were specifically designed for women. And in 1986, she developed severe back problems because of men's tennis shoes. And she started her own company. And she started it. It went public in the summer of 87. What happened in the fall of 87? Anybody know? Stock market. Ew. Huh. But she persevered. She continued to take risks. And by 1995, when she sold the business, it was worth $16.2 million. Not bad for a shoe company. A risk taker is one who is willing to stick their neck out knowing that it might get cut off. A few of you know about turtles, right? They never make progress unless they stick their neck out. 85%, and I got the stats right here. I just printed them off. You can look them up too. You can come up and see them later if you want. 85% of American Protestant churches are dying. I had a great chat with the mission committee today. Brian, not everything we said goes, okay? Confidentiality, buddy. I'm teasing. 85% of American Protestant churches are stagnated or dying. It tells me that there are more caretakers in American churches than there are risk takers. A caretaker is one who is hired to care for something or someone, a house, an estate. Basically, they're becoming a custodian. A risk taker is one who dares to undertake a hazard, peril, or jeopardy. With this in mind, I contend that a person who does not take risks is not a person of faith. And I'm not talking about the degree to one's risk, determines the amount of faith that they have. No. I'm not even considering personalities. Some people might have a personality like me. Let's jump. Where are we jumping to? No, I've already jumped. So some people's personalities are a little bit more risky than others. My wife knows that very well. She has to keep pulling back on me. But I believe from Scripture, the amount of your faith will determine the amount of your risk, which will determine the amount of your progress. Caretakers are strapped in. They're in a mode of maintenance. I call that ruddy living. You know what a rut is? I grew up on a farm. I knew what a rut was all the time. A rut is something you get in and you just kind of, I got to keep following this way. Even though I don't really want to go that way, if I try to get out, I might break the car or something else. You know what a rut really is? It's a grave with the two ends kicked out. Let me remind you. A rut is a grave with the two ends kicked out. It might take you down a path that you don't want to go. While risk takers are on the cutting edge, making a difference. Rick Warren, anybody ever heard of Rick Warren? Look at that. Do you know that he started that Saddleback Church with five couples? Did you hear about that? You know how they paid for the bills first? All five couples maxed out their credit cards. Every credit card they maxed out got cash and started a church. Has that church done anything for the kingdom of God that you know of? Yeah. Was that a risk? Oh, you bet. Especially if you have one credit card that max out at $10,000 and you've got three of those. Can you imagine going $30,000 worth of debt like that and you're paying back 15 to 19%? Where's your faith? We are going to talk about Peter and his fishing buddies. How can I not stand here in a Navy uniform and talk about a sailor? Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 33 is the difference between caretakers and risk takers. After studying this passage, I hope that we will be better informed on how we can choose to be risk takers rather than caretakers. Tom Peters, in his book, Thriving on Chaos, was written in 1987, and he said this: constant risk-taking and experimentation are required today simply to survive. That was 87. Wow. Matthew 14, 22 through 24 says this: immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already in considerable distance from shore, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Jesus practiced being alone. We understand that. Spending time alone with the Lord in prayer is a time of refreshment, refocus, either staying on mission or staying on vision, whichever one. Maybe both. He needed time alone. Jesus dismissed everyone because he needed that personal space, personal time. Now, Matthew 14, 25 and 26 says this: during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost!" they cried, and cried out in fear. Wow. Jesus now is coming between 3 and 6 a.m. to the disciples walking on the water. The waves that were trying to kill them, the disciples think, are now bringing the grim reaper. They can't recognize him at first. At first, the waves are the problem. The storm's the issue. But now, there's something more. There's an apparition coming at me, and I don't like that. It's death himself thinking in their mind. Now they're fearful of that. But the waves that tormented them now bring their Savior. Folks, do you see the irony? The thing that they thought was going to knock them silly or even kill them, the waves, now is bringing their Savior. Wow. Jesus confronts his disciples with two things in verse 27. Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." So, his commands were, "Take courage, don't fear." That should end the whole story, right? You're either a risk taker or a caretaker. Huh. We either do what Jesus says or we don't. Take courage, stick your neck out, and stop being fearful. Get rid of doubt. Some of you would have not burnt roast if we left right now. You'd be fine. That really is what he's saying. Do what I say. Next, he says, "It is I." Sheep know their shepherd's voice, don't they? He doesn't say, "Hi, it's Jesus Christ, I'm here." He just simply says, "It is I." Wow. And let me tell you, verses 28 through 32 are not mentioned anywhere else. It is only from Matthew that we see this. Let's read these verses. "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he says. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards him. But when he saw the wind and he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when he had climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Risk takers will choose four specific actions to set them apart. From caretakers. The first action that they will do is this. Risk takers will relinquish their reliance upon the familiar. These are fishermen. This is probably Peter's boat. He's the captain of the boat. And what does he do? He gets out of it. Why would Peter get out of his boat? He's making no progress by it. His Lord is walking on by. Why do you want to be stuck in something that's going nowhere when that guy who's walking on the water is going somewhere? He relinquishes his reliance upon the familiar. He says, I might have done it this way for 10 years, 20 years, but obviously it's not working anymore. I got to figure it out and do something new. He doesn't rely upon the familiar. So he gives up what he knows. This is a scary thought. He gives up what he knows to do something he's never done before. Wow. Remember the challenge before us? Can you be a person of faith and not be a risk taker? Read Hebrews 11. I'm not sure. For 15 years, I was an overseas missionary, a youth pastor, student pastor, church planner, founding pastor, associate pastor, and senior pastor. And that was just the first 15 years of ministry. Then God moved me into another ministerial position. Instead of being in a local church, I went to the military. But I still did ministry. I've never stopped. It's my passion. The institution simply changed. What are some hindrances to relinquishing the familiar? One, it's unfamiliar. I don't know how to do it. Tom, we want you to go from the local church and be a military minister. How do you do it? You'll figure it out. Yeah, but the second hindrance to relinquishing is security. I'm familiar with this boat. I like my boat. It's my boat, Peter says. I'm the captain of my ship. But yet he throws it aside and he starts walking on water. The third thing that hinders us from relinquishing is the mindset that change is bad. If I believed that change was bad, I would not have replaced my knees with what you guys have created. I got fake knees. And it doesn't hurt me to stand up here and talk to you anymore. If I thought change was bad, I'd still be crippled, walking around. I'm about ready to change my hair again, but anyways. Think about Daniel. Think about Daniel. A 14-year-old boy is taken from his own homeland. Where is he put? He's put in the pagan world. Then told, learn this wisdom language, literature. Matter of fact, learn a new language. Matter of fact, learn the system. It's not a Jewish system. It's a Babylonian system. Learn what's going on here and then make change when you can. He didn't say no. Because his meat's bad, I ain't eating it. Where would that have gotten them? Or, I don't know. I wasn't there. Some of you were. But anyways, let me keep going. Sorry. Woo-hoo. Anyways, you get the point, right? Right? Okay, good. We got some head nodding, a couple miles moving. Good, got it. We're moving forward. The second thing that a risk taker does, first of all, they relinquish reliance upon the familiar. The next thing they do is they initiate something different and new. Hey, guys, this boat's going nowhere. His sandals seem to be working. Why don't I try that? So he says, if it's really you, Lord, tell me to come. One word, come. Oh, man, who's going to do that today? I don't know. Should I step off? Should I put my foot in the water? If the master says come, do it. Don't wait. Well, I almost jumped ahead, so we got to keep on pace here. Megatrend 2000, yes, Megatrend 2000 says, on one level, the millennium has come to mean a time to close the door on the past and embark on a new era. I heard this week at the GARB conference a pastor from Michigan say, we're going to do evangelism this way. And it's what that minister heard 40 years ago. I know, I heard the same thing. If you think you can do evangelism the same way you did it 40 years ago, no. Peter initiated something new. Like I said, the master's using his feet. I think I will. Henry Ford. You know when Henry Ford understood the assembly line, right? It's when he was making watches. Didn't work so well for watches, but look what it did to cars. The method that's being done in some respects in church life today might not be right for that location or for that generation. It might not be a bad idea, but you have to find the right context to use it. Next thing that we see here is Peter out of his mapped out his alternatives, like I said. He didn't just jump for jumping's sake. Think about it. Peter's looking at this. He says, we're getting nowhere with this boat. He's getting somewhere on his feet. Obviously, that's a smarter move. That's the best move. Let me walk on water. He told me to. So why aren't I? So he starts walking. Peter heard the command, and it is a command, come. It is a command, come. Sometimes, think about this, initiating something new is simply just obedience. It's not some grandiose thing that you and I thought of. It's just being obedient. Peter is one of the stabilizing forces. It's probably his boat. Now, some of you are fishermen out there, and I know that because I think I had your hook in my ear a couple times. But anyways, can you imagine? You know what it's like to stand on the edge of a boat. What happens? You stand on this end, and the other side comes up. Can't you just see the other 11 disciples when Peter stood on the edge? Sit down! You're rocking the boat! Ever heard that before? Peter, sit down. Don't take an initiative. I like the status quo. We're getting nowhere, but we're not drowning, so sit down. The fear of initiating, excuse me, I just jumped all the way through that. The hindrances of initiating is fear. Fear of failure. If I step out on the water, I might drown. I might sink. Fear of ridicule. Fear of rejection. I give you a quote from a couple of leadership books, The Leadership Challenge by Cowles and Posner, but I won't. I'll let you read that on your own. Great leadership book written about 15 years ago or more. Sometimes initiating something is hard and hurtful, but as long as we know it is being good and better to bring good and better things, then we need to at least try it. And especially in this context with Peter walking on water with a fellow shipmate of mine walking on water, it was simple obedience. The third thing that risk takers will do is they will separate themselves from the caretakers. Peter walked on water, leaving the caretakers to man the boat themselves. It was probably his boat, like I said. Well, they've already got Andrew, my brother, Peter's thinking, and James and John, my business partners. They can handle it. You see, Peter left the boat huggers with the status quo and left the living of mediocrity to them. Jesus has got a standard. Are we hitting it or are we below it? I can't answer that for you. I have to answer for me. Jesus' standard is here. Am I hitting it or not? He's not gonna water down, sorry for the pun, but he's not gonna water down his standard because I feel bad about it or I don't like it. in 1994 when thousands of Cubans were floating across from Cuba to South Florida. I was on three different ships gathering these Cubans up. They were risking everything, babies' lives, their own, to get away from an oppressed country. And I had a bunch of boat huggers for sailors who didn't want to leave pier to go save these lives. But it all changed when the first person to come across the bow that we picked up was a 6-year-old girl. Carrying her doll. And every one of these sailors broke down. And they knew exactly why they were there. Risk takers are trendsetters. They set the pattern. They live up to the standard. When I prepared myself for this, I didn't expect that to happen. So, risk takers will relinquish, they will initiate, and they will separate. And the fourth thing that they do is they will keep. They will keep their eyes on Christ, not the circumstances. Obviously, Peter did not. It says that he began to sink. His focus was not on Christ, it was on his circumstances. Why is this happening to me? Why do I keep seeing these waves hitting me? Why do I feel the wind buffeting me back? What's going on here? Peter, God gave you a command to come. Keep your eye on him. Don't look at your circumstances. When you lose sight of your vision, the first thing you're going to say is, "Save me, Lord!" This may not surprise some of you, but others, it will be a shock. Verse 31. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Many times people say that the "you" is for all the disciples. It's not. It's singular. It is Peter, you. Peter, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Can't you hear the other 11? I told you you'd sink. I knew it. You should have never done it. Loser, quitter, you failure. No. Here's the most condemning thing in this entire passage. Not that Christ said to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" It was what he said to the 11. What did he say? Nothing. You boat huggers, you caretakers, don't even have a little faith to get your feet wet. Wow. If that doesn't cut to your soul, this sailor's got a couple more sermons he can bring you. I don't know. Are you with me? Okay. Grasp the truth of this passage. He does not speak to the caretakers and the boat huggers. The amount of your faith will determine the amount of your risk, which will determine the amount of your progress. Think about it. There's only two people in all of history that's walked on water. One, the God-man Jesus Christ. And another man like you and I with little faith. Little faith. Who has a propensity of doubting. Just a little faith made him walk on water. So risk takers will relinquish reliance upon the familiar. They will initiate something new and different. They will separate themselves from caretakers, and they will keep their eyes on Christ. First class petty officer Bernie Weber. You may have heard of him. You may not have. But if you've seen the movie, I can't even remember the name of the movie now. Anyways, in 1952, when the SS Pendleton was cut in half off the coast of Cape Cod, he went out in 40 to 60 foot seas, lost his compass on a wooden boat with a crew of four people. He saved 32 lives. On a boat that was only designed to carry 12. The Finest Hour. That's the name of the movie. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to see it. And that is a true story. Bernie Weber died the last year I served with the Coast Guard. 2009. True hero. So here we are. You and I, what are we? What am I individually? What are we corporately? Am I a caretaker or a risk taker? Are we caretakers or risk takers? The answer will be the level of your faith. Remember, Christ's standard. Let us pray. Father God, your word is true. It is designed to bring us all into all godliness and faith and practice. May you be our guide and director of our faith so that we might please you. As Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please you. So, Lord, it is our prayer that we would be pleasing to you and effective for the kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.